We were talking, Ken and I were talking a little bit earlier, is when you've been through a few decades in life, you can say, this is what I've seen and this is what I know. And what I want to tell you today is, when things get tough, take your stand. That's it. When things get tough, take your stand. Don't run for the exits. Don't hide. Find the place that you were meant to stand. Stand there and do what it is that you're called to do. If you were looking for an easy life, I hate to tell you, you picked the wrong planet to live on. Because this side of heaven, nothing ever is perfect. And this week, as I've talked with people, there's one family that their ceiling's falling in on them because the bathroom overflowed and it went through the ceiling. Another ones are dealing with COVID coming into the household. Others are dealing with fears about what's going on in the political realm, and barbarians are at the gate, okay? Everything is there, and these are all situations that we're having to deal with as a body. And what I want to tell you is, I don't care how tough it is, take your stand and stand there. So if you're not there already, turn to Romans 5. We're going to look at verses 1 through 2. And I want us to think through this from a perspective of you, me, and Grace Bible Chapel. Verse 1 says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we exult in the hope of the glory of God. In this world, there's all sorts of places where you can take your stand. And the world seems to be manufacturing more of those places over and over again at an increasing rate. And you may actually feel pretty strongly about some of these places where they say, this is right and this is wrong. And I want to make a point that you and I can draw our line in the sand wherever we want. We can say, thus far, no further. We can do our little Gandalf act and say, you shall not pass, and, you know, hit our staff down wherever we may be. And whether it's a battle for rights or a view that is being bashed, these things may mean a lot to you. You may have strong feelings about COVID-19, whether we're being railroaded or whether we're not being careful enough. I get it. You get to choose your battles, take your places, but there's one thing as a Christian you're not allowed, and that is to forget the place where God has asked you to stand. And I'm preaching, okay, but I'm preaching to friends here, okay? I mean, the minute I get off of this around this podium, I mean, we're going to be talking, stuff like this. So I don't want you to think of me as just, you know, some guy up here just giving a message. I want you to, you know, we're looking each other in the eye. And I want you to know that this is something just really, really important for all of us here at Grace. And for those of you who are looking in over Zoom, God has called us to stand in a place. And with all these other things going on, you can't forget where you've been called to stand. And that place that we're called to stand is listed out in this verse, and that's the free gift, the grace of the gospel. It says, we've obtained our introduction by faith, that is through Jesus Christ, into this grace in which we stand. Into this grace in which we stand. Don't forget it. Don't be drawn off of it. Hang on to it. There is a place of freedom and of acceptance and of love and of mercy that God has bought for you. And he wants you and me and all of us together to stand there as we go through life. What's going on? What is this grace in which we stand? I know a lot of you know it, but just to repeat it. The gospel says that there is a God and that he's Lord and that ultimately he's in charge. And when you've accepted the gospel, you agree that there is a God and that he is Lord. You also agree with the fact that you've fallen short of that, that you're a sinner. And that if God was to judge you rightly, you would fall short. And he would say, yeah, you've fallen short. And you know that you deserve that judgment. But you also know that his son loved you so much, that he loved you so much, that he sent his only begotten son to pay the price that you deserve to pay. And it was not because of anything you did. It's just simply because he loved you. It's not because you were smart or good looking, as I was reminded this weekend. It's not because you've lived a certain lifestyle or not lived a certain lifestyle. It's because Jesus paid the price for you. And in that, he made you part of a family. And we're a small part of that family here at Grace Bible Chapel, the family of God. The family that Jesus paid the price to make you and I a part of. It doesn't matter what nation, where we're from earth, we're part of that family, and that's what he's done. And that you and I are waiting for a new world, a world that is to come, a kingdom, and that is what we're living for, recognizing that this world is not going to change until that point. And in that, we've been rescued into a relationship where we can grow and become something that we couldn't have become outside of this new birth that Jesus has given us. And we're working to help others join and get in a relationship as well. That's the gospel. That's the gospel in a nutshell. That's the place that he has asked us to stand. Now, my question is that where you're standing? Okay. What does it mean to actually stand there? The world right now is trying to jerk you and me around. Okay. It's trying to get you all bent out of shape about certain things and on certain bandwagons in certain areas. And again, like I said, some of those things may have validity, may not have validity. I'm not here to talk about that. What I am here today is to talk about, is it getting you off of base? Okay. Is it getting you to stand someplace where you're not supposed to stand? Is it getting you to worked up over something that in reality is not going to last? If you are standing in grace right now, if you're standing in the gospel, in this place that God has bought for you and me, something that you and I can't buy, it implies multiple things. And one of the things it implies is right there in that verse, in verse 2, where it says, not only do we have peace through God, and we've been introduced into this faith in which we stand, but it says we also exult in the glory of God. I like to pace, but I can't pace because this thing's on me. So you're going to see me start and I'm going to be pulling myself back here. Have you ever exulted? What does exulting look like? Okay. Maybe it's people dancing in the streets. Maybe it's like shouting hallelujah. Maybe it's, I'm not quite sure how you do it from your household, your background, whatever. But there are times when you just get really excited. It's somewhere between rejoicing and boasting. It's somewhere between saying, man, this is great, and I just can't express it enough. That's what exulting is. About a month ago, I took my grandson, Noah, and he and Nathan and I went down to Moss Landing down here, which is just a little north of Monterey and south of Santa Cruz. And we went in kayaks. Okay, it was the first time that Noah was ever in a kayak. And we took the kayak out into the Moss Landing area. Noah and I were in one as a double, and Nathan had his own. And we went out into the slough there, and it really was a lot of fun. But we had otter swimming around us, and there were seals and that, and we had two otter actually got in a fight. We're jumping like within like 5 feet of the boat, and we're going up and down, and we were doing this. And so when Noah got home, he went and he started exulting, okay? He was there, and he was saying, this was the best day ever, okay? Now, his sister had actually gone up to north, I forget the name of the beach up there, with her aunt and uncle. And she said, no, my day was the best day ever. And so at dinner time, these two were talking about the best days ever, okay? That's exulting. It's like, this is wonderful. This is great. This is what I have. And so where is your exulting? Where is it that you and I are supposed to be saying, wow, this is wonderful? Well, it says the first exulting here in this passage is we're exulting in the hope of the glory of God. Now, that sounds very churchy, doesn't it? Okay. What does it mean to hope in the glory of God? Well, have you ever exulted in a hope? You know, where you've gotten really excited about something that's coming. Like with, again, kids, it's like you tell them, hey, we're going to Disneyland or something like that. And if you were unwise enough to let them know too far in advance, you're going to hear about it for every day, every hour until you actually go there, which is why it's sometimes good to do a surprise, okay? Because they're going to be exulting. Are we there yet? Is it time yet? Is it ready to go yet? Maybe it's somebody getting married, okay? And they're just can't wait. They're exulting. They're thinking about this. Again, I don't know if Kirk and Sabina are watching here, but I just loved watching them as they were getting married, and you just saw the glow and the happiness, you know, after waiting for the right person to come along. And there was a quiet exultation in them as they were looking forward to getting married. And it was still fun to see the honeymoon lasting for a year or more. It's still lasting, right, guys? Okay. So again, that's sort of the exultation. What is it to exult in the glory of God? What's the gospel telling us? What's that place of grace that you and I are standing in? It says that this world is passing away and there's a better one coming, and everything wonderful that God has for you and I is there. The glory of God and everything that that imagines. It's not just, you know, we think of this sort of glow around God. It's everything that brings him honor and glory. So it's the exhibit of that in the future. And there can be a real excitement about that, where you start living your life for that day and you exult in it. So that's one thing. But there's something else strange in this passage that I want us to take a look at. Let's look at verses 3, 4, and 5 here. And he says, and not only this, that we're exulting in that, but we also exult in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance proven character, and proven character hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. I want you to notice the chain here. You exult in your tribulations. Okay. That's like sounding like a, not something I'm, let me process that. All right. Exult in my tribulations. Why? Because it's going to teach me perseverance. And that perseverance is going to give me proven character. And then, wait a minute, I'm back at the beginning again. And the proven character is going to give me hope. So let's take this a little bit and unpack it. All right. I exult in tribulations. Okay. This is like saying, wow, a hard time's coming. Isn't this great? I want you to put your mind into that. Okay. And we'll talk about that in a second. What does it mean to be in a time of trouble, tribulation, oppression? Okay. This means that things that you value, things that you care about, are under assault. Think of the things that stress you out. You know, each person has different things, stressors. I was telling you about all the stuff that was happening this morning before I was coming here. Okay, maybe it's just little things. What are the things that stress you out? What are the things that you look at and go, oh, really? I got to deal with that. You know, life, this side of heaven, this side of the new heavens and new earth, has got trials and tribulations. It's just part of the makeup of a broken world. And so if we can get this attitude where we can exult and look forward to it, it's going to make a big difference. I don't know what it is that you consider a trial or tribulation, but I know every one of you have it. Okay? It's part of life. It's part of where we're at. And right now, one of the reasons why I want to do this message is because we as a body are going through this whole COVID-19. Can we meet inside? Can we meet outside? Do we do this? Do we do that? You know, and every week it's a new thing that we're having to really consider and work through. And frankly, it looks like it's going to last for a period of time. How are you going to deal with that? Are you going to exult in it? Or are you going to go like, again? We've got a choice. I'm thinking here a little bit because I'm wrestling with wanting to share some stuff with you. I feel it a privilege to serve with the men that I serve with as elders. I not only think that they're a good group of guys, but they're men that honor the Lord. And as you guys know, when I start talking about honor and things like that, I start getting a little teary. I'll try not to, but no guarantees. I've already told you I'm old. That's going to be my excuse from now on, okay? Whenever I do things, I'm just old. You've got to keep being willing to press on, even when there's tribulation. I remember this was a few years back, and every one of the elders was going through something major. Okay. Steve was serving and doing all the stuff that he normally does, and yet spending 24 hours a day in the hospital next to his daughter, who was there for over a month because there was a large tumor that was wrapped around, I think, at her spine or something that they were trying to deal with. Dave Westwood was going through a bunch of stuff. Dave's life has been just one thing after another. You know, his daughter had started with leukemia, and that was many years before that, but there was something going on here. His back was out. His wife was dealing with the Lyme disease and other things like that, and he was still getting up and dealing with that. Dave Johnson was dealing with prostate cancer, okay, and he was going in for treatment on that. David Johns had lost his job and was dealing with back issues and other things like that, and he was dealing with all that. John Shepherd was literally having needles poked into his eyeballs once a week with a big syringe while they were coming in and doing stuff along with other things like that. There were things going on in my life which I won't deal with. Every one of them was having stuff going on. And yet, every Thursday, they'd be there. And we'd deal with the issues. That was part of the body. And it wasn't about them. It wasn't about what they were going through. It was about what was life, what was going on. Because you see, they had learned a long time ago that their life was full of these things, and they weren't going to stop them from doing what needed to be done. Life is full of tribulations. And yet Paul says here he learned to exalt in his tribulations. Why was it that he learned to exalt there? And why is it that we need to learn as we see these things coming our way, even just these little things that are annoyances really in some ways, but they get under your skin? Because it says it produces endurance. It produces perseverance. Now, this word here is a really interesting word. It's hupomeno, okay? And I don't expect you to know the Greek, but many of you may have heard that already. And it's composed of two different words that I think sort of give a picture, at least, of what it's meaning. Hupo means under, and meno means to abide or stand. Okay? So you are to be standing in place, and you are to abide there under this tribulation. Now, I don't know about you, but I prefer to stand someplace else. You know, if I'm standing someplace and I see the rocks coming down, I like to sort of step out of the way. I don't know about you, or if I see a bus coming, I like to get back on the sidewalk. But here, there's a time and place where you have to stand in a certain place and do what is right. Thayer, a man who's written a dictionary, says the word means to remain, not to recede or to flee from, but to persevere absolutely and emphatically under misfortunes and trials, and to hold fast to one's faith in Christ, to cleave faithfully to the Lord. That's what it means. Can you stand there and hang on to what God has asked you to hang on to when things get tough? I'm telling you, it's hard, but it's worth it. And I'm telling you, that's what we have to do going forward here. That's what we need to do as a body. You know, it's easy to stand under a blue sky, fluffy clouds. There's not much of an issue. If you say, honey, I'm going outside, I'm going to take my stand, and it's in the sun, you know, you're not probably going to get a bunch of accolades, okay? Good for you, honey, you're taking your stand out there. But when you take your stand and there's opposition, and you take your stand and there's lies, and you take your stand and people are trying to push you off of that place, that's when you're either being very honorable or you're being very foolish. One of the two. And it all depends on where you're taking your stand. I want to make this point again that what makes this thing different is that when you're standing here and when you're standing in the right place, it's a time of sacrifice. But that's what's good about it. That's what Paul is actually trying to get at here when he says, I exalt because I'm learning endurance, and that endurance is giving me a tested and proven character. You and I are made up of a bunch of different things, okay? You've got thoughts here and there, and they're not always in particular order, whatever, okay? And you have value systems that are not in place, and I have value systems that are not in place. And what's happening is God is asking us, or is putting us in a place where I have to determine what is important. And when I have to stand in a place and make something happen by standing there, I have to let go of other things. You guys all know that, right? You value taking your kids someplace? Well, you have to let go of something to be able to do that. You value going to work? You have to let go of something to go to work. You value being with one person? That means you have to not do something else. All those things are things that you and I make choices about when we have to make a choice. And tribulation compounds that by saying you're under a stressor, you're under something that's going on here, and this is now going to make you make a choice. Do I value standing where I'm supposed to stand more than the comfort of getting out from underneath that rock? And where is it again that you and I are supposed to stand? You and I are supposed to stand in the gospel. You're supposed to stand in the fact that God is God. You're supposed to stand in the fact that he loves you. You're supposed to stand in the fact of all those things that we talked about and not abandon those things. That's where you and I are supposed to stand. And if you get out of that way, you may feel less stress, but you're also going to have less growth. And you're not going to be able to experience what God has for you. And that's why I'm encouraging all of us here, okay, at Grace. Again, we're taking this one day to talk about Romans because we're going to now start doing in-person preaching here, and I had a chance to take an opportunity to do a filler message in between things before we start the rotation again. And I really was praying about it. Lord, what is it that you want me to convey to the body at Grace, and particularly at Grace? And this is what I think we need to understand, okay? You and I are in this world now for one reason and one reason alone, is to stand in this place that God has asked us to stand, to follow the Lord Jesus Christ here and to make a difference there. And the world is full of tribulation, but Jesus Christ says, don't let that worry you. I've overcome the world. This is the place where you and I can make a difference. Jesus told us, he said, there are certain things that if you're going to follow me, you just cannot do. And tribulation helps us to see that. He says you cannot serve God and mammon, money. Okay. Do you guys actually believe that? Tribulation is going to test which one you're going to go for. You cannot follow Christ without forsaking all. That is another scriptural thing. He doesn't say, well, sometimes you can't follow Christ without forsaking some things. No, it's a categorical statement. In this world in which you and I live, if you're going to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, you've got to forsake all. You will eventually be called at some point or time or another, if you're following Christ, to say, I'm sorry, I've got to stand here. And if you have to leave me, go ahead and leave me. Okay? You're going to have to be called to stand someplace and say, maybe I'm not going to get that money that I wanted. It says, you cannot love the world and love God, because the world system, per se, is the enemy of God. Now, it says we've been given all good things to enjoy, but where's the choice? Are you going to stand where he wants you to stand, or are you going to pursue some of these other things? He says you have to be willing to pick up your cross and follow me. That's another way of saying you have to be ready to die, right? Now, I say this to a group of people who I know love the Lord and want to follow him. But I'm saying this as a way of reminder and exhortation and encouragement. It's really easy to start picking up some of these things that the world is throwing at you and saying, these are more important. And they're not. You, as well as I know, that someday you're going to get old. You see how I'm weaving that in? Okay. You like that? And there's going to be a day when all those things that you've worked for are going to be left behind. As we sing, only what's done for Christ will last. Those are the things that you and I need to live for. And those are the things that you and I need to organize our life around. Those things which are eternal. Those things which God says that we're to love, which is each other, him, his word, getting to know him, and sacrificially living for one another, doing what it takes so that we can support one another, care for one another, love one another, and help each other across the finish line to this world that he's going to bring and give us all the things that we can't have now because we're in a broken world. I need you. You need me. We need to walk together and we need to support one another. And when I see tribulation come, this is an opportunity for me to say, I get to know Christ better here. I get to know you better here. And we get to do something that we would not have been able to do without this trouble coming into our life. I've gotten to see new sides of everybody here because of this COVID-19 thing. It's with certain people, I go like, wow, I didn't expect that. And others, I go like, wow, I didn't expect that. Okay. And I see certain people step up and I see certain people step back and I see what's going on. And you start to get to know, well, what are the value system? What's going on? Because we're all under this tribulation together. And really, God is saying through Paul to us, he says, I want you to rejoice in this. Does that strike you as strange as it does to me? I mean, part of me in the flesh says, no, I want to retire to the Bahamas, okay, or do something. But he's saying we ought to look at it and we ought to have that attitude and saying, bring it on. Yeah, okay. Because I know that you are bigger than all these tribulations around me. I know that you can bring me to a place that I could not be otherwise. And I know that this is being used for my good. Again, verses that you and I know. Do you really believe that all things work together for good to those who are loved? I know you know the verse, but that's not my question. My question is, do you believe it? I really get irked when I see people sinning. Not so much when I sin, but when other people sin, okay? Because I know that's going to cost me something. Why just they don't do the right thing? You guys feel the same way? We're getting a little sound over there. Don't worry about it. Do you get worried about it? Or do you actually believe that God can use it? He can. And he's going to bring it for your good and my good as well. Let me sort of close with a story. And I want to make it as an analogy here.
We didn't do flowers afterwards, right?
Okay. Now that's getting a little distracting.
Yeah, we'll have to because we're not. I forgot about it.
Sorry, Joel. Now. Turn it. Okay, there we go. Oh, he's talking to the guy behind me. Okay, there you go. All righty. So this is a story that I want to tell, and it's a little bit about a choice that we have. What are we going to do with the situation around us? Are we going to see it as a place where we can exult God? Because you see, this is part of the place where we stand. And I'm going to say this four and a half story here.
Maybe 5 o'clock or something.
Our point is not to hide and protect that which we consider to be valuable. Our point is to stand the fight. Okay, it is to stay in a place and make a difference by standing in that place. And if we are just running for the easiest exit, you and I are going to miss the blessings that come in this. Now, like I said already, you may have heard this story. I know I've told some of you. I may have even told it from here. But like I said, as an old guy, I get to repeat stories, right? So there was a retreat for the college group Saltworks many years ago, probably about a decade and a half ago by this point. And I don't know. It was one of the first ones that Sanjay came on. And we had about 50 people, okay, all college students, driving up in about 5 to 8 cars, I can't remember, vans and stuff like that. And so we're heading up to the Sierras. This is a snow retreat. And we get up to Angel's Camp, which is right at the foothills, and it was just been a straight shot, okay? It's been very nice, whatever. But the snow starts to come down heavy at Angel's Camp. And we only had 30 miles more to go. We get at Angel's Camp at 5, okay? And for the next 8 hours, the next 30 miles, we're on the road. Because the snow just keeps coming down and coming down. Guys are slipping, you know, we're flatlanders down here, okay? So they're driving up there. We're trying to go this, and I've got 50 college students, okay? Many of them who don't even know how to make a fire, all right? Some of them are in flip-flops and shorts, okay, going up there. And we've got these cars going up there and up to Arnold area. And as we're approaching Arnold, the Big Trees area, just past it, the vans and the cars actually start getting stuck because the snow was now like 2 to 3 feet deep. And so we actually have people, my wife was driving one of the vans, and she's actually having everybody bed down in the van, okay, at this point in time because of what's, you know, it looks like there's no hope, there's nothing's going to be happening. And I'm with another car elsewhere. And by this point, all the electricity in this little village has gone out, okay? So there's actually no lights. And I've trekked into one of the cabins and there's no heat, all right? Because again, you'll find out that the furnaces have to have electricity to start. And so that's where we're at. And I'm seeing guys jump out of the vans and running in their flip-flops to go help other people in other vans. And I'm just standing there and I'm going like, what do we do? Okay. I've gone from just worrying to get people into the cabins to worrying that I'm actually going to lose people because of hypothermia, because they're being dumb. Okay. And a few other things as well. So I just tell everybody, abandon your cars wherever they're at. Leave them there. Okay. In the middle of the road, because it doesn't matter. I mean, you can't move them anyway. And we throw everybody into one cabin. Okay. We rented 3 cabins, one of them at the last minute. And this one cabin, we just throw everybody in and I say, girls upstairs, guys downstairs, and go. And just take off your wet clothes, do whatever. And one of the funnier sights I saw was three guys well over 250 pounds each, all in a one bed together, okay, a queen-size bed, all with, you know, the covers over them, shivering next to each other. I'd tell you names, you guys would know some of these guys, but they're all in this one bed and just sitting there. And they pulled, this is somebody's cabin, they pulled like somebody's dressing gown over them and other things like this. And you're just seeing this all here. And so my goal is accomplished. Everybody's in the cabin and nobody's dead. So that's a win. I had to tell my girls how to build the fires because none of the guys knew how to build a fire. Okay, so at least we had a wood stove, and so that was going on. And the next morning, everybody's there. So you've got 50 people in this one cabin. And the food truck is like a mile down the road, okay, where we had all the food. So I tell people, okay, make peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. That's what we're going to have for because we had that, we were doing that. And Dave Westwood was the speaker. So I said, Dave, go ahead and give the first message. And I'm this close to calling the retreat, okay? Because I know without hot food and a warm place to be, you know, it's just not going to work. So we're right at that point. You could call this tribulation, a trial. You have a choice to make. Are you going to try to make this thing work, or are you going to leave? And you and I have this choice in our lives multiple different ways. Where the tribulation, the trial comes, and you have to make a choice. Am I standing where I'm supposed to be standing? Therefore, I've got to make it work. Or is it time to cut and run? Well, several of us prayed. And while Dave was speaking, I walked to this third cabin. Now, you got to realize all the electricity's out. We don't have any way to make hot food. And so I'm saying, Lord, if you want us to stay, we need a cabin with a gas stove. And with the week earlier, we realized that we were going to have enough people that we needed a third cabin. So we ordered that third cabin at the last moment and got it. And I walked about a half mile to this cabin. And there I opened the door, and it was one of these geodesic dome type places, all right, where I saw that we could meet with 50 people in one spot. And I went over to the stove and I turned it, and it was gas. Now it had an electric starter, but at least you can get a match and you can get it going there, right? And so with that, we went back and we decided that we were going to stay and make a go of it. But I told everybody, I said, if we're going to make a go of it, every person has to do something. And so we organized people. We sent one team to retrieve the food truck, and they dug it out and pulled it out. I said another team to send to start splitting wood, and another team was doing that. We had another team that was setting up the different cabins for people to be able to there. And every person in that group went and did something to make it happen. And I can never forget what one of the girls said there. She said, I've been on lots of retreats in the past, she said, where everything was nice and all people could do was complain. She said, here, everything went wrong and we're having a blast. Because what they did was they came together as a team and they came together to work something through, and they found something within themselves that was different. Okay, that there was something worth living for, a place to stand, a place to make a difference, and a place to love one another in a sacrificial service way. Now, it was a weird retreat, okay? During this retreat, one of the guys actually went a little berserk, okay? And he actually went and cold cocked Dave Westwood, okay? He literally punched him in the face, okay? Because he'd gone off his meds or something like that. And that was part of what was happening. So I'm talking about, this was like one of those retreats for the ages, right? And yet, through this all, every person I've talked to says, I remember that retreat with fondness because of what God did in our midst. So you and I have a choice to make. Yes, this world's got tribulation. Yes, there are difficulties. But I'm asking you to do what Paul's asking us to do here, which is exult in it. Don't try to protect. Be ready to serve. Don't think about yourself, but be ready to sacrifice. And all those things that you're looking for, and all those things that we want as a body of believers, and all those things that you want as your own personal life to grow in, those come about when you get down, you stand in place, and you fight for what God has asked you to do. And that's where you see God come through. So I'm going to ask you this. Ask yourself, ask each other, what price am I willing to pay? Do I believe God is in control? And finally, am I willing to stand in the place he's asked me to stand and risk it all for him? And I want us to be able to say from our hearts, amen to every one of those. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you very much for your goodness to us, and that even trials and tribulations, Lord, are part of that goodness. Lord, help us to understand that you have brought us to this place, and now we have a choice to make what we're going to do with it. Are we going to be people who stand, or are we going to be people who run? Help us, Lord, to stand, abide under the things that you've given and make a difference in this world. We love you, Lord, and we just ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.